Right, we want to welcome everyone to our Wednesday evening Bible study. We're moving along in Daniel. We're on chapter 8 now. And before we get started, really, reading the verse, I want to bring up something about this. This chapter has a lot of prophecies that were fulfilled within a couple hundred years of when they were proclaimed. And what has happened is a lot of so-called biblical scholars and theologians have said, well, Daniel couldn't have been written when the scripture says it was, because those things came true down to the letter, and they discount anything that's supernatural. So they said it had to have been written after those things happened, and then he just talked about them as if they were prophecy, but they'd already happened. And the only reason they say that is because they don't believe in anything supernatural. Well, if you don't believe in anything supernatural, you don't believe in God.
That's right.
Now, to me, this is proof that we're in a spiritual battle. Because think about it. If you were an atheist, you know, whatever reason you're an atheist, why would you even study the Bible? Why bother? You know, you're an atheist, you go do your thing, leave the Christians alone. You're an atheist, you believe that. Why would you waste your time trying to read the Bible just to try to prove it wrong? The only reason you would do that is because the devil is making you do it. So these people that say there's nothing supernatural, they're pawns of the devil and don't even realize it. They're working for him, and they don't even realize it because they don't believe in him either, because he's supernatural.
And like you said, you know, why would they be afraid of God if they don't believe there is one?
Exactly. So it just goes to show you that this is a spiritual battle going on, because why else would they even be concerned about it? You know, I mean, like for instance, I don't know anything about playing hockey. I don't know one thing after another. Why would I waste my time reading about all this news when I don't care anything about it? So an atheist, why do they spend their time going through the Bible and everything? Leave it alone. The reason they do it, spiritual battle, Satan is fighting against it.
Put that next to me.
Okay, so first verse. In the third year of the reign of King Belshazzar, a vision appeared to me, Daniel, after that which appeared to me at the first. So in chapter 7, it began by saying it was the first year of the reign of Belshazzar. So this is 2 years later that he has this other vision. Verse 2, and I saw in the vision, and when I saw, I was in Susa, which was the citadel, which is in the province of Elam. And I saw in the vision, and I was at the Euly Canal. I raised my eyes and saw, and behold, a ram standing on the bank of the canal. It had two horns, and both horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher one came up last. What he's seeing here is the kingdom of, this is, ram represents the kingdom of Media Persia, which was the second medal down on the statue. Mm-hmm. And it was also, I believe it was the bear also in the other vision. And this one horn that was a little bit higher than the other, that was Persia. Media Persia, as long as they lasted, toward the end, Persia started getting a little more powerful, had a little bit more influence than the Medes did. And that's why that difference is there. He says, I saw the ram charging westward and northward and southward. No beast could stand before him, and there was no one who could rescue from his power. He did as he pleased and became great. Now, it's interesting that Medo-Persia actually conquered lands in that order. First, they went west, they went north, and they went south to Egypt after that. The Bible is absolutely accurate, even to order of which direction they went.
So when these horns he's talking about, would this be in the same order as being symbolic?
Yeah, they were symbolic of the power in this case. Horns usually represent a kingdom or a king.
Okay.
In this case, it was representing each of the Medes and the Persians.
Okay.
But this Medo-Persian Empire, they never went eastward. And the Bible says it doesn't say anything about going eastward. And they never did. They didn't go that direction.
Well, if it's symbolic, why didn't he say the Medes or the Persians? Why didn't he say that? Why is he saying using these horns?
Because that's what he saw. He says he's just, all Daniel's doing is saying he didn't know what it was. He finds out later. The angel tells him, you know. But he didn't know what it was. He's just saying, this is what I saw. You know.
Okay.
As I was considering, see, he's considering. He's wondering, what is this? Behold, a male goat came from the west across the face of the whole earth without touching the ground. And the goat had a conspicuous horn between his eyes. Conspicuous meaning very, very noticeable horn, big horn. The army, this stands for the army of Greece with their leader, Alexander the Great. Okay. And what it meant was, without touching the ground, he was moving. And his army moved very, very fast. Mm-hmm. And that was one reason why he was so successful. Mm-hmm. He came to the ram with the two horns, which I had seen standing on the bank of the canal, and he ran at him in his powerful wrath. Mm-hmm. I saw him come close to the ram, and he was enraged against him and struck the ram and broke his two horns. And the ram had no power to stand before him, but he cast him down to the ground and trampled on him. And there was no one who could rescue the ram from his power. Now, I want to read to you what J. Vernon McGee says about this. He says, the commander for Persia, his name was Xerxes, X-E-R-X-E-S, says, Xerxes moved with an army of 300,000 men and their families. This was the Medo-Persian army. The Greeks were smart. They didn't go out to meet him. Instead, they waited until he got to this place called Thermopylae, which was a narrow pass into which he could not fit a big army. It sounded like a bottleneck he couldn't get through. Since one Greek soldier was equal to at least 10 of the Medo-Persian soldiers who were not trained and disciplined like the Greeks were, the Greeks got a victory at Thermopylae. They decimated that tremendous Persian army as it attempted to advance through the pass a few soldiers at a time. And then on top of that, at a place called Salamis, Xerxes' fleet of 300 vessels was destroyed by a storm. So that pretty much did it in for the Medes and the Persians. In verse 8, then the goat became exceedingly great, but when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And instead of it, there came up four conspicuous horns toward the four winds of heaven. And so Alexander the Great, he died when he was 32 years old. He got an illness. He was also an alcoholic, and he had binged, had a whole night of drinking, and he passed away at age 32. And his empire went to his four generals. And I also have a thing on that. He says, these were the four generals. Cassander, who was married to Alexander's sister, and he took the European section, which would be Macedonia and Greece. Lysimachus, who took the great part of Asia Minor, which is modern Turkey. And Seleucus, who took Asia, all the eastern part of the empire except Egypt. And Ptolemy, who took Egypt and North Africa. And then it says in verse 9, out of one of them came a little horn. And my research showed that of those four, the little horn came from the one Seleucus had, which was Asia. And it says, this horn grew exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the glorious land. Some translations say pleasant land. Some translations say beautiful land. But it's Israel, what they're talking about. Uh-huh. The glorious land is Israel.
Yeah.
It says, it grew great even to the host of heaven.
Here's what I
want to say. We're going to get to it. I know. And some of the host and some of the stars it threw down to the ground and trampled on them. So okay.
Who are they?
Okay.
Okay.
I'm thinking, and what I believe was verified by other people that I researched on this, I believe this prophecy has a double meaning. It can apply to Antiochus. I used to call this Antiochus, but that's not the way you pronounce it. It's Antiochus.
Yes.
Antiochus Epiphanes.
Yes.
And some of it applies to the Antichrist. Okay?
Yes.
Now, stars can refer to either angels, and sometimes in the Bible, stars can refer to Jews. Okay? So, I have other translations here for verse 11. Let's look at verse 11. The English Standard Version of verse 11 says, it, meaning this being, it became great, even as great as the prince of the host. And the regular burnt offering was taken away from him, and the place of his sanctuary was overthrown. I did not like that translation because the prince of the host is Jesus Christ. Yeah. And there's no way he's going to be as great as Jesus Christ. So I looked it up in the KJV, and it says, yes, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host, meaning he thought of himself as being as great as Jesus. And by him, the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of his sanctuary was cast down. And then in the NIV, it said this, it also acted arrogantly against the prince of this army. That's a whole different story than saying he was as great as the prince of the host.
Mine says it even challenged the
yes.
commander of heaven's army by canceling the daily sacrifices offered
right.
to him by destroying his
people. So this happened twice. Antiochus Epiphanes, back around 170, 175 BC, he's the one that came from this Seleucus' empire. He was a military person, very aggressive. He went in to the Jewish people. I think it said he killed 100,000 of them and imprisoned, like, or had captured 40,000. He went in and desecrated the temple. Mm-hmm. He did all these things, but he was a type of Antichrist mm-hmm. because Antichrist is going to do basically the same thing to the Jews in the future. So let's keep going. 12, and a host will be given over to it together with the regular burnt offering because of transgression, and it will throw truth to the ground, and it will act and prosper. So what he did was when he went to the temple, he cut off their daily sacrifices. He wouldn't let them sacrifice in the temple. He offered a pig, you know, which the Jews, you know, they wouldn't eat pork or anything. And that was like a terrible thing to do, was offer a pig on the altar. And he just did everything. It was just a terrible, terrible. I mean, he's like Hitler was to the Jews, just a terrible human being. Then verse 13. Then I heard a holy one speaking, and another holy one said to the one who spoke, for how long is this vision concerning the regular burnt offering, the transgression that makes desolate, and the giving over of the sanctuary and host to be trampled underfoot? In other words, how long are they not going to be able to do their sacrifices? How long are they going to be oppressed by this being? And he said to me, for 2,300 evenings and mornings. Then the sanctuary shall be restored to its rightful state. That is not 3.5 years in this case. It's about 6.5, not quite 6.5 years if you do the math. That just happened to be the length of Antiochus's reign. That's how long he did this. So we know that at least this part, they're talking about Antiochus and what he had done. But then we're going to find out as we keep reading something else. When I, Daniel, had seen the vision, I sought to understand it, and behold, there stood before me one having the appearance of a man, and I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Euli, and it called, Gabriel, make this man understand the vision. So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was frightened and fell on my face, but he said to me, understand, O son of man, that the vision is for the time of the end. So he's saying this also applies to the time of the end. Okay, that explains how this vision can have a double meaning. So verse 18, and when he had spoken to me, I fell into a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and made me stand up. He said, behold, I will make known to you what shall be at the latter end of the indignation, meaning at the end of that time period is 2,300 days. For it refers to the appointed time of the end. And as for the ram that you saw with the two horns, those are the kings of Media and Persia, and the goat's the king of Greece, and the great horn between his eyes is the first king, and we know that was Alexander the Great. As for the horn that was broken, in place of which four others arose, four kingdoms shall arise from his nation, but not with his power. Of course they wouldn't have his power because you split it up four ways. Mm-hmm. Alexander's Greek empire was split into four sections, and again, none of them would be as powerful as the whole nation was. Mm-hmm. 8:23, and at the latter end of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their limit, O king of bold face, one who understands riddles, a king of bold face, one who understands riddles shall arise. Now he's talking about the Antichrist. Mm-hmm. His power shall be great, but not by his own power. And he shall cause fearful destruction and shall succeed in what he does and destroy mighty men and the people who are the saints. Okay, his power shall be great, but not by his own power. All that means is God is allowing this to happen. He's letting it happen. He's not more powerful than God. God is allowing this to happen. Mm-hmm. For one thing, it fulfills prophecy. And for another thing, the Jewish people have to go through this to bring them to Christ. And he says, destroy mighty men and the people who are the saints. And we talked about saints before. So God is going to permit this to happen for a limited time. Just for a limited time. 8:25, by his cunning he shall make deceit prosper under his hand. In other words, he's going to be so crafty and sly, and he's going to have all this technical ability. He's going to deceive people, and he's going to be very good at it. And the people will be deceived. Mm-hmm. And in his own mind he shall become great. Now that sounds that one like that one translation I read where it says he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. He was great in his own mind, you know. Mm-hmm. Without warning, he shall destroy many, and he shall even rise up against the prince of princes, and he shall be broken, but by no human hand. Mm-hmm. Jesus is going to do it.
That's right. That's so the prince of princes is Jesus.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And what we're talking about here, the second coming of Christ. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The vision of the evenings and the mornings that has been told is true. But seal up the vision, for it refers to many days from now. And I, Daniel, was overcome and lay sick for some days. Then I rose and went about the king's business. But I was appalled by the vision and did not understand it. So, no, I mean, that's why, in answer to that one question you had, all he saw was what he saw. I mean, it's kind of like when John, you know, had his vision, like he was just saying what he saw. He didn't know what it meant, you know. At the time. So it's very interesting because there are these people, they're called preterists, P-R-E-T-E-R-I-S-T. And they believe that all these things that happened in Revelation and Daniel, that they all happened back then 2,000 years ago.
Well, and I want to go back to verse 10 because I've got confused on that a little bit. Mine reads like this. Its power reached to the heavens, where it attacked the heavenly army, throwing some of the heavenly beings and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. Who are the heavenly beings? Are those the demons? Who are they?
Okay. I have had the same issue that you had. I looked it up. I found two different opinions on that. One was, since stars can also refer to Jews, one person thought that simply referred to how Antiochus Epiphanes conquered the Jews and basically trampled them and killed so many of them. And then another one, I think it was J. Vernon McGee, said that he was allowed great power and demonic power and was actually able to overpower some of the angels. Now, you remember, here's the thing about angels. There is a hierarchy of angels. You have angels, you have more powerful angels, you have archangels, you know, and there, I don't know how many different classes of angels there are, but perhaps he was given power over some of the lesser angels and actually able to overcome them.
Yeah, but are they angels that are good angels, or are these bad?
Yeah. No, I mean, why would he be fighting his own? If they were bad angels, why would he be fighting them?
Well, I don't
see, so he is a spiritual sense. Battle. He may have been, you know, temporarily given power over these particular angels. I don't think he would have had any success against an archangel. But like I say, there are levels, classes of angels. But like I say, that's two different theories. I mean, the guy who says that it had to do with the Jews might be correct. I'm just giving, I don't know for sure.
Here's a reference to that verse in Revelations 12:4. And here's what it says. It's talking about the woman and the dragon. It says, his tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky, and he threw them to earth.
Okay, that had to do with Satan's rebellion and a third of the angels going with him.
Well, that's what that, well, that, but that's a reference.
I know.
To,
it's similar.
Verse 10.
It's similar to that, but there's a difference. Those angels went with Satan voluntarily. He persuaded them to do that. These angels were overcome by Satan. If that second theory is correct. But the first theory might be correct, where it simply talks about the Jews being stars.
Don't just talk about stars. It says it.
The host. It talks about a host.
Power reached to the heavens.
Right.
Where it attacked the heavenly army, throwing some of the heavenly beings and some of the stars to the ground and trampled them. How can that relate to what this is over here?
Well, when you see a reference, it doesn't always mean it's exactly the same. It just means it's similar. You're talking about angels. You're talking about Satan and angels following him in one verse. In the other verse, you're talking about Satan defeating certain angels out in heaven. It's not the same thing, but it's similar. That's why you have that reference. It's not always exactly the same, but it's talking about things.
Here's where the footnote says the stars that plunge to earth with him are usually considered to be the angels who fell with Satan and became his demons.
Why would he have to overcome them, and why would he have to trample them? I don't understand that. But like I said, it may have been the first theory. The guy who said it was the Jews may have been correct. I really don't know the answer to that. That is very deep, and those are the only two theories I was able to find. You know,
our notes say that the host of heaven and the stars both refer to God's people.
Okay, there's another. There's three theories.
Are you in the book of Daniel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm on your
that verse. Verse
8, 10.
Yeah. So there you go. Three different theories on what this is. So even the best scholars don't really know what this word. They're guessing.
Because this 4 in Revelation takes me back to Daniel 8:10.
Yeah. So, that's something that, that's one of those things we just can't be sure about. All I can do is give you the possibilities.
And I don't have no reference down here on my footnote.
Yeah. But, when I read that, I thought, that doesn't seem to make any sense. But, but again, when you think that there's a constant spiritual battle going on, you know, it took that one angel Gabriel, it took him 21 days to answer Daniel's prayer.
Yeah.
In chapter 9, took him 21 days to get there because he was being resisted.
They were fighting in the heavenlies.
Yeah,
right?
There's this battle going on.
Well, that's why.
And Michael had to come helping.
Yes.
So there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that we don't know anything about. We don't know anything about. But let's pray. Dear Lord, this is a really good study today, and there's some things that were told to Daniel, and then he was told to seal up those things toward the end. And there are some things that we don't understand. There's different possibilities, and Daniel didn't understand them at the time either, dear Lord, but we know that your Holy Spirit gives us those things that you want us to be able to understand. And some things perhaps we never will till we become complete in you, and we'll find out then. But it's very interesting to study this and to try to learn what we can. And we did learn a lot of things. But this is such a fascinating study, and we appreciate it. And we thank you that we live in a country where we have the freedom to study it and to go over it. We thank you for our Bible study that we have. We thank you for our Christian brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, amen.